Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Dual announcements by Biden. I think they were very smart foreign policy announcements. First of all, he announced he had a conversation with Vladimir Putin, private conversation, and told him exactly what he was going to do and what Putin was not going to do. And then he announced as a gesture that right now he will not send Navy warships, U.S. Navy warships, into the Black Sea for the time being to de-escalate the Ukraine crisis. And at the same time, he announced very, very severe sanctions against Russia, including the expulsion of 10 diplomats and intelligence officers who were sneaking around spying in this country, about 30 organizations that the Ruskies put in basically to subvert our country, and a provision that none of our banks can buy ruble-denominated bonds after June of 2021. So they can get rid of what they got so far, or do this and that, but come June, that's it. That's toast. And of course, you know, Russia's a basket case. I visited Russia in 1997 with a delegation from the Justice Department to give lectures to Russian parliamentarians, prosecutors, lawyers about our criminal justice system and our civil justice system. They don't, at that point, and maybe they still don't, but they didn't then, have rudimentary things like, say, collections. Take for granted, you sue somebody, landlord sues somebody for rent, or somebody cheats you on a contract, and then you get a judgment. You docket the judgment, and then you can go and get the money from the person's bank account or his assets or whatever. Over in Russia, there was none of that. So, yeah, you can go and get a judgment. And the way they enforced it is you'd hire the mafia, the Russian mafia, and they would go and beat the guy up or shoot him if he didn't pay. That's Russia, okay, in 1997. So I gave him a talk about things like garnishment and replevin and an orderly process so you didn't use criminals to enforce your civil justice system. And then some of the other people in our delegation talked about criminal law and due process and all of that. They were wonderful people. They were wonderful people. But the problem is they're not a wealthy nation. Their economy is the size of Italy's. And you may say, oh, Italy, yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Oh, Italy, I like to go there on vacation. Italy is nowhere as big in population and nowhere as big and geographic expanse as Russia, and it doesn't have the problem neighbors Russia has. China on one side, the stands, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, you know, Afghanistan, all of these stands are right there in the general neighborhood, sending Islamic militants in. Then they have Turkey on the east, and so there they are. There they are, with a very, very modest economy based on basically oil, much lower life expectancy than we do. And there was extreme poverty. I mean, I remember walking around St. Petersburg and there were these people playing the violin with a hat in front of them that could have played for the Metropolitan Symphony. I mean, these people were unbelievable. And there they were just playing the violin with a hat. So you throw a few rubles in. And one of the saddest things, because, you know, we have Social Security and we have Medicare and Medicaid. Well, over there, there was this lovely older woman, she was probably in her 80s, just sitting on the ground, and she had a hat or some sort of basket. As you walked by, she was selling flowers, and she reached up and she gave me one. You know what it was? It was a dandelion. It was a dandelion. And I gave her a bunch of rubles. We don't have that here. You say we do not. We have homeless people and a lot of other things. We have mental illness, but we don't have that kind of poverty here. So Putin is a murderer. Of course, he's a murderer and a thief and so forth. But over there, there's somebody right around the corner waiting to put a knife in his back and take control. They don't have real democracy. We thought they did back in 1997, but they did not. It didn't come out that way. Anyway, so Navy ships can go into the Black Sea. They're international waters. The Black Sea, you have to go through the Bosporus, through a strait that Turkey now controls. We told Turkey earlier in the 20th century, you can technically control it in the sense that we will give you notice when we go in. But if you so much as put up a peep about our going in, we're going to go in shooting. Okay. So stay out of our way. We said it much more diplomatically. This is radio. Okay. This is not the State Department. But anyway, we gave Turkey notice 10 days ago or so. We're going in. Putin got all riled up because he's afraid. He's afraid that somebody will get him, you know, that's tougher than he is and wants his job. So in this conversation, Biden told him what he was going to do. And then Biden also made a decision, which is right. He said, as long as I am going to prevent our banks from buying Russian-denominated bonds, ruble-denominated bonds very quickly, and as long as I'm going to throw out 10 of their diplomats and intel people, and as long as I'm going to throw out 30 of their organizations, and I could have done a lot more, put in an economic embargo, you know, all he had to do is say, none of our banks can do financial transactions with Russia, and there would be people in Russia begging for bread. Well, he hasn't done that yet, but what's clear was on the horizon. And I think he thought, I'm certain he thought, that if I also send Navy ships in, and they're suddenly in the Black Sea, and they're prowling around Romania and the Crimea, and they're prowling around Russia, that would sort of be like the Russians, if they had a lot bigger economy than ours, prowling around the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean and coming close to Key West and New Orleans. I think he thought, you know, I want to put a lot of pressure on this guy, but don't want to drive him over the edge. So he said, all right, for now, we're not going to send him in. But you got to understand something. We send Navy warships into the Black Sea 8 or 9 times a year. 8 or 9 times a year. It's going to happen. We'd send them in almost every month, not quite, but 8 or 9 times a year, and we will send them in again. We will send them in again. The Ruskies send ships into the Mediterranean. Under no NATO port would let them in. So you know what? It was very sad. They couldn't go on liberty. Sailors couldn't go ashore, get a beer, get a pizza, that kind of thing. So what they did is they found areas to anchor in. When I was in the Navy, plus their ships are no good. Their ships are a bigger threat to their crew than they are to anybody else. Their aircraft carrier, their only one, broke down one time, and we had to, not me, but whoever was on duty then, and supply them with fresh water because they couldn't make water. I mean, you know, they're a basket case, okay? But anyway, there are places in the Mediterranean, the ocean, and other places that are a lot shallower than you think, and you can drop anchor. And they just find a place to drop anchor, and then American Navy ships do not have alcohol on board. Not permitted. Dutch Navy, British Navy, and the others, officers can have alcohol in their cabins, not enlisted men. In the U.S. Navy, nobody can have it, which is the right thing. You know, when you're handling nuclear weapons and airplanes, all that, you don't want guys getting a drink, okay? You get a drink if you go ashore on liberty. But the Ruskies not only have booze on their ships, but back in those days, and of course now we have an integrated Navy and gender, but back in those days, there were no women on American Navy ships. Other than, say, hospital ships. But the Russians did. And so they'd have their own party anchored somewhere. It's very sad, a very sad party. It's a sad, isolated country in many respects. And so Biden made the decision, okay, I'm going to be putting a lot of hurt on this guy and a lot of word on this guy. And his bonds, if the U.S. banks won't buy him denominated in rubles, who is? Maybe the Bosnian bank? Good luck. So, I'm going to do that to them, throw these guys out, tell them they're skunks at the party. I think this time I will hold off sending warships in until this de-escalates in Ukraine. It's a very, very smart decision, in my view. Very, very smart decision that Joe Biden made. That's the background of it. That's the background of what's going on. The Russians have massed troops on the Ukrainian border. They have a border with Ukraine. They've already invaded and stolen Crimea. And they've already pushed, they take their Russian military uniforms off. They put on, you know, civilian clothes, and then they kill people. They go into the region called the Donbass region because there are some Russian speakers in there and say, oh, we got to liberate it. Let's kill a few Ukrainians. The truth of the matter is that they're slowly trying to invade Ukraine, but they're pitifully weak and isolated as a nation overall. And Biden will keep putting up the screws, and they start doing things, and suddenly no bank will deal with them, and then they are really in tough shape. But what's happening, I think they're amassing these troops as sort of, you know, woofing and trash talking. They may go in, they may try to, and then we'll have to respond. But it may be, you know, they're slowly killing Alexei Navalny, the main opposition leader. He's on a hunger strike, and he's lost the feeling in his leg, and they're slowly poisoning him. He's a very healthy big guy. Before he went on the hunger strike, he started to get very sick. And like he did, remember when they tried to poison him in Siberia and he went to Germany and got cured? They'll kill him. They're slowly killing him right now. And they'll say it was an accident, it was a medical thing. And, let's take your eye off the ball. Yeah, we got troops over in Ukraine, and okay, then we'll draw back. That's what they're doing. It also takes pressure off, and it you know, when somebody starts a war, momentarily the leader's favorables go up to 90%. George H.W. Bush started the Iraq War initially back in 1991 because he was down in the polls to Bill Clinton, and his approval shot up in the 70s or 80s. You get behind the commander-in-chief. So here the commander-in-chief, Putin, is invading Ukraine. Okay, we got to get behind him, even though we're hungry, and even though we're selling dandelions in the street, and even though, you know, our best musicians are, playing with a hat in front of them out there on the sidewalk somewhere. Okay, well, the leader has invaded Ukraine. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. The question is, will NATO respond militarily? Russia has 7,300 or 7,500 military nuclear weapons armed. So do we. France and Britain each have nuclear weapons, although they're not 7,500. We're not going to go to a nuclear war. The idea is to do this, to de-escalate this, so Russia starts acting like a human country, okay? I mean, they did in the 90s. They did with Gorbachev and Yeltsin. It can happen again. They have a criminal and a thug in there right now. And I go on and on about this, but, you know, it's important to know the history, important to know what's going on in Russia. They've had authoritarianism for over 1,000 years. The czars for most of it, and then communists, and now they don't know what to do. Going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.